Hello, everybody. Welcome to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously, and who also doesn't ever jump in with a thing after that.
No, I kind of like letting you hang for just a few seconds.
I know, and I don't like it.
Anticipation. I think we all enjoy it, frankly.
Well, but I will say the fact that you're bringing up hanging is a bit of foreshadowing for today. It's like we drew it up. Oh boy. Are you sure this is your lighting scheme that you want?
This is my lighting scheme that I want?
Yeah, usually yeah, you do your thing and you poke.
I can turn some more stuff on and off. I just
want to make sure that you know that we can see everything. And that's fine. And I like it.
I mean everything.
Well, everything.
Can you see the four cans of Romano cheese?
I believe we can.
Okay, fantastic.
We zoom in. We can see the entire Costco shelf.
Aldi, thank you very much. Costco.
Well, sometimes you see. First of all, Costco is a gem, and how dare you? Second of all, usually you go.
I got Costco money.
You don't got Costco money. It's kind of a members only sort of thing. So
yeah, exactly.
Makes a lot of sense. If you weren't spending all your money on off brand Cheez-Its. is that reference out yet?
God, I hope so.
We should start recording these one day before they're published so we can't do any more live shows until we do that. Sorry, Jeremy and Jen, you're gonna have to record within 6 hours or edit within 6 hours, but I think it's gonna be worth it for the listeners in the end. Okay. So what's happening with you?
Yeah. Go on. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you. Hey, that's genuine concern. I like you and let me read my notes here. I like you and I want to know about your life.
Okay. Sure. That sounds very natural. I like that.
Thank you. Yep.
Things are good.
This is why I don't ask, because that's it. It's tough.
No, I do genuinely appreciate you asking. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm sure you're aware of this being a father, but as soon as you have children, that's the last time anybody asks you anything about yourself. Like, that's it. That's the day. The day you come home from the hospital, everybody's like, oh, tell me the birth story. That's the last story that involves you.
Unless you are instrumental in your child, say, breaking their arm.
Yeah.
Then
break your child's arm? And you're like, why are you writing this down?
Why is my phone already ringing? What is this number?
But yeah, like, no, nobody cares. I could tell some story, be like, oh, I was on a work trip in the Amazon and the boat got crashed and we had to eat like poison berries and we all got high as shit and we lived in a boat and everybody be like, oh, and did the girls miss you? What? So no, it doesn't matter anymore. But thank you.
You're welcome. And the good news is you just answered Ryan's question about what an engineer does.
So. They eat poison berries and get fucked up in the Amazon. That's correct.
Yeah.
Certain engineers.
Right.
Multidisciplinary engineers, I should say. Yes. At least two of the disciplines. How about you? How was your week? What were you up to?
Week is fine. My toe is healing, which is nice. I don't think it's healing correctly, though.
Is it folding under?
It's not folding under.
Okay.
That's good news. It's not becoming a claw toe, which I do appreciate. It is. It's a little.
You got zigzag. That's fine.
A little zigzag.
But the color. Is the color good?
Ish.
The color. Yeah. You're going to want to worry about the color. You're going to want to get pretty particular about the color.
Listen, I don't. If you're listening to this show and you are a doctor, I could use some assistance.
I need to see some good colors here.
I don't know what. I need a color chart, first of all. Also, Aaron keeps encouraging me to go to the doctor.
Typical.
It's just so pointless.
Has Aaron seen your schedule? I'm not entirely sure when that's going to squeeze in.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday only. I mean, then those are my other days.
Yeah. My doctor only has office hours on Monday behind the dumpster. And he and I are both very busy on that day.
She keeps encouraging me to go to the doctor, which I think is probably the right idea, but
very sweet of her.
It does take time to do that. And I know that they're gonna say like you can't do anything for broken toe, just do what you're doing.
Yeah,
but having said that, for three incurable. Weeks now, I do think maybe that a doctor would have been a good could have put it on the straight and narrow, so to speak. So that's happened. I'll keep you posted on the progress of my toe. Someone and I have I think I cracked a tooth today. And so I was thinking someone, and I think it might've been Jen Jones, who I believe is here, on Facebook recently made a comment that perhaps we should start wrapping me in bubble wrap to keep me safe. And, which
as,
I just want
as soon as they manufacture that much bubble wrap, we will get right on it. I promise.
That's right. I do just want to say that's a comment I found incredibly hurtful mm-hmm. and incredibly Jen's. Helpful.
Jen's?
Both. Oh, both okay. hurtful. Jen's was helpful.
High five, Jen.
As well. So I don't know. That's my world. Sweet. Oh, and my, and Maple has, she's actually, this is a, kind of a touching story. I don't know. I don't want to get too serious or anything, but.
Yeah, bring it on down. Sure.
So for most of her life, Maple has been very adamant about how much she loves Aaron and does not care so much for me. Mm-hmm. Yes, which was a problem until we had a second child, and Ivy, it's evened out a little bit because Ivy now, also prefers Aaron to me. so it's been cool. Yeah. Yeah. But recently this week, I think starting this week, maybe last week, Maple has started doing something really sweet. Like at bedtime, when I do her bedtime, she will sometimes now say, "Daddy, I love you. I do love mommy more."
Mm.
So I get, it's strangely, it's moving mm-hmm. in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
No, Clayton.
Anyway,
if you're not first, you're last. That's what I always heard.
It's only first and second in this house. So I guess. All right. The Ricky Bobby rules of parenting. I guess we should get going with the story. Ryan, is anything interesting happening in the chat yet that we should address before we get into the recording? Oh, we shouldn't say for the recording. This is our live show. So those of you who are not here, you really blew it. And yep. you're not here doing this live. You had the chance to weigh in right now and you've lost that chance.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, anything in the chat that we should address before going in?
I don't think anything we need to address, but some great conversations happening about you and particularly being clumsy and horrible. So
I don't care for this. I don't care for this.
Okay.
I don't
like it's going it. Well, I think. Yeah.
Awesome. Love it.
Yeah. Really glad we decided to do this. Thanks, everybody. Well, all right. Let's just... Hey, who wants to hear a ghost story? All right. Nope, can't read that. Let's see. There we go. And here, what?
Just curious, what's in your notes that you can't read at the very beginning of the show?
No, it's not that. It's not that I feel reluctant to read it. It's that I literally can't read it. So I had to zoom in a little bit. Okay. Henry Wickenburg. Wickenburg, yes. Mm-hmm. Henry Wickenburg was born on November 21st, 1819, in the town of Essen in Prussia.
Ooh. What is Prussia?
I'm glad you asked. For those of you who went to public school like Patrick did, that's Germany.
Hey. I went to private school, which is actually even more of an excuse not learn about the world. So
I also went to private school, and I also had to Google what Prussia was.
It's like where Poland and Russia hit. That's
I
very
knew it
easy.
Was like it was somewhere in the Germany, Poland, Russia, Norway area.
Yeah, and then like slowly sure. Poland and Russia pulled apart, and they were like, what are we going to put in the middle here? Germany.
Yes, and so. That's... Yeah, and if you don't think that's how it works, may I refer you to Pangaea?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The fossils they find in Prussia are just inexplicable, frankly.
So he's born in Prussia. So Essen in Prussia, it was a coal and steel town, and Henry and his brother earned a living by mining some of that coal on their family property. Which is good. It's the original work from home.
Just two guys mining coal.
Just two cool dudes going out and mining coal in the backyard.
Got to be super efficient. Sounds super efficient.
I think they didn't make a lot of money.
Almost heat the house this year. I'll tell my wife.
So this plan went great for a while until 1847.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, he's almost 30. When the Prussian government suddenly was like, hey, wait a minute. You're not mining on your own property, are you?
Like wipes. No, why would you say something like that?
Why? So the Prussian government comes in like, these mineral rights, these are ours now. Wah, wah.
Mm.
Yeah. So their government sends in the local authorities to raid the farm. It's that Prussian deep state.
Is, mm-hmm. Clearly
strong there. So they raid the farm. They're going to take it. And Henry says, fuck this, I'm leaving. And he sails to the port of New York in the good old US of A.
Hmm.
Now, Henry Sweet barely touched the ground, that sweet ground of freedom, before word breaks out all over the country that there's gold in them there hills of California.
He knows how to do some digging.
And Henry knows how to mine stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And gold and coal are the same thing. That's why they sound so similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so. Mm-hmm. So before too long, he leaves New York and he heads out to San Francisco. It takes a while to get there.
I can imagine.
Yes, travel is not the best.
He's probably thinking in the back of his head, what if I had just gone the other way? I wonder, would I be there by now?
So he goes to San Francisco. He learns how to prospect and how to pan for gold. Mm-hmm. So he hones those skills. And he is scratching out a living there. Like, he's finding some gold, but mm-hmm. he's not making the fortune that he always dreamed of.
Hmm.
And then he meets a man named Pauline Weaver.
Pauline is the man's name?
Are you?
I want to make sure I heard correct. Yeah.
Because I would like to know if you are, because that might be a problem for the podcast.
Pauline is generally a little more non-man name nowadays. But back then, I guess it was very...
You could...
It's a gal's name. It's for gals.
Oh. Okay. Thank you. I guess. Thank you. You did it. He was born... His born name is Powell. Mm. Powell Weaver. Is that Weaver. Is that man? Is that right enough
for
you? That's
a name. I would have kept that one. That's a good testicle name
for sure.
That's kind of name that has you bald by 19. You got so much testosterone roaring through your veins.
So Powell Weaver goes by Pauline. Weaver is, quote, an American mountain man, trapper, military scout, prospector, and explorer.
Jesus Christ.
So I dare you to call him feminine to his face, sir.
He probably changed his name to Pauline so he didn't, like, rocket off in outer space accidentally. I got to get this whole thing under control here. I can't do all this anymore.
So let's see. Now, the sources that I read for this suggested that Weaver always had good relationships with indigenous Americans, which could be true. His mother was Cherokee.
Mm, okay.
Having said that, there are a lot of things out west that are named after him now, and I feel like you don't really get your name on stuff if you're, like, cool to the locals.
Yeah.
So it's...
I believe Peace Valley 2 weeks ago. When was that?
Peace Valley is the one they have not. The one's coming out Wednesday.
So you'll get that Valley. Reference long time from now.
Yeah, Jeremy or Jen, if you could explain that, that'd be fine.
Yeah, if you could just speed up time a couple days and just release the episode right now.
When you're not busy, please do that for free. Also.
This does a really good explanation of our mental state that I literally can't remember anything that happened earlier than last week's episode.
I am surprised by how difficult it is to remember all the details of what we talked about literally 1 week ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's like trying to remember where you parked your car 2 days ago. Like, oh, that piece of information is totally, totally useless to me now.
That information belongs to the world now. So Weaver may have had good relations with Native Americans, maybe not, but either way,
he'd be the first. Mm-hmm. I guess somebody had to eventually, but
I don't know if history bears that theory out, but it's a nice thought. Anyway, in 1862, a group of Native Americans, I forgot. He did fight in the Civil War for the North. So we do like him at least a little.
Okay.
Like, he seems okay. In 19th century adjusted terms, he's pretty good, yes. For sure. But anyway, so in 1862, a group of Native Americans show Weaver where he can find gold near the Colorado River.
Hmm.
Because he had been rather helpful to them on some point. And he said, oh, well, thank you. And indeed, there gold there was. Weaver sets up a mining town called La Paz, Arizona.
Ooh.
This time, of course, Arizona was his territory. I believe La Paz is still there, though it is now nothing, mostly because Weaver stripped the land for everything that it's worth, quite literally. But it's during that time that Weaver meets our good friend Henry Wickenburg of Prussian fame. Prussian fame.
Yeah, I got you.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's what I didn't mean to say. Thank you. Thank you. Now, he thinks Henry shows a lot of talent for mining gold. Obviously, he's got a ton of experience. So Weaver lets him in on a little secret. He, Weaver, is planning a new expedition up the, and this is going to be pronounced flawlessly, Hassayampa River.
Ooh.
Nice. To look for gold. And he invites Henry along. And Henry says, I love gold. I will go with you. Thank you for this, sir.
Also, there's not much else to do here, so let's go.
So Weaver leads his men into the Arizona Territory, back into the Arizona Territory, and they make their base camp in what is now known as People's Valley, which is about 80 miles northwest of Phoenix. We've been to Phoenix together. I was going to say, you ever been to Phoenix?
I have been to Phoenix many, many a time. I love that.
Excuse me, you've gone without me. That's interesting.
I have. Oh, well, we used to do work down there.
But interesting. Yeah.
My favorite thing about Phoenix in general is every city I thought I could name in Arizona is just a suburb of Phoenix. I know all about Phoenix. There's Sunrise and all
that. Scottsdale.
And then they're like, yeah, that's all Phoenix, man. That's
it. Well, that says more about Arizona than it says about you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. But we did the, you know about Prescott there. We did the episode on Prescott There's a hotel in Prescott.
Yes. Yes. I came from ignorance into the light. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome. And you're welcome for that. And I think you owe our listeners a thank you as well, because without them, we wouldn't be doing this.
No.
So you want to, they're here. Do you want to say something to them?
I don't. Maybe later.
Okay. So they go into People's Valley, which is not spelled how you think it would be. It's not Valley for the people. It's not the, like, peaceful valley of
is
people.
Like Mario Van Peebles.
Yes, except peoples. It's like more like peephole. It's more like Porky's version of
the people of valley.
Yeah, this people's
is,
valley.
I like where this is going, frankly.
I thought tell you might. P-E-E-P-L-E-S. So that's another white man, I assume. Mm-hmm. Which 80 miles northwest of Phoenix. So they found placer gold there. I will ask you, Patrick, any guesses what placer gold is?
Placer gold.
Is it a thing engineers should know, I think.
Placer gold. That would be trace minerals that suggest the presence of gold nearby.
Okay, Ryan, do you want to weigh in? Do you have any ideas what the placer gold might be?
That is the place where the gold is.
Gosh, that is the answer I would have given as well. Somehow Patrick is closer.
Ooh, the engineer is closer on the technical questions.
Placer gold is essentially gold that is found in sand and topsoil.
Hmm.
Which I think probably, I assume, leads you to a bigger place where gold, more placer gold.
Little gold's got to come from somewhere. Maybe big gold.
Mm-hmm. So that's nice. So yes. So it's different than mining. Obviously, you're kind of sifting. You're doing the sifting thing. So they find some gold there. So it's doing really. They're going really doing a good job. And one day, while they're there in People's Valley, our old pal Henry Wickenburg, he goes out for a little walkabout. Stretch your legs. And while he's out, he notices a quartz ledge about 14 miles from base camp.
I'm sorry. What kind of a walk is this man on?
He's on a 14-mile walkabout. This is like me when I used to work in corporate America, when I would say, gosh, I need to take a quick break. And I would leave the building for 3 hours and then come back and see if anyone noticed. But he finds a quartz ledge. And he gets really excited about the fact that he sees a ledge of rock that is made of quartz.
I would be,
Patrick,
too.
You're an engineer. Yeah. Do you know why he's excited? Aside from just like loving quartz a lot, as you famously do.
Mm-hmm.
Any guesses why he might be really excited about that?
I'm going to say because quartz and gold are what are called sister minerals. Meaning that if you boil quartz, all that's left is gold. So
here's what I hate about that answer. Yeah. Is that half of it is exactly right. And don't tell me which I think half. We can all guess which don't tell half me which is wrong. Half. Oh. So So they are sister jewels in the sense that gold forms inside of quartz.
And how would you get to it if not boiling it?
I guess boiling is probably a thing people have tried.
It does take a while. Admittedly, it takes a very, very long time.
Quartz is famously the Mad Anthony Wayne of rock. Yeah. And just, you know, it takes a while, but you get it down to bone eventually. So gold does form inside of quartz. And so Henry sees this big ledge sticking out of the ground. And he's like, there could be gold there. Obviously gold is not in every piece of quartz, or else Maple would be rich, because she picks up every rock that she can find and puts them in her pockets. Mm-hmm. And then years later, I find rocks everywhere and it's fine, but he thinks there might be gold there. So he goes to camp and he tells everyone that they should come check it out with him. Like, please, we should go see this. There could be gold here.
We should go walk 2 days in that direction. Everybody.
This is, I think, grab your shit.
We're going.
I think this is why people are like, no, thank you. Because, again, 14 miles is quite a hike. So everyone turns him down. They say, no, I think we'll sit here and just do this and get rich. This feels fine. But Henry is very adamant. He's like, you guys, I think we should mine there. But they are like, Henry, please fuck off. Don't want to do that. It's so far away. So Henry then goes out by himself and he starts working on the ledge, chipping away, seeing if there's actually any gold there.
Mm-hmm. You know, you know what this is? He's back to his coal mining in the backyard days. That's what this is, you know?
Now his backyard is a little bigger than it used to be.
Yep. Yeah, this is when you like show the montage of like the silhouette of his brother also, you know, beating on the rock in the middle of nowhere, and it's a real real brotherly moment.
Talk to me more about the silhouette of the brother beating on a rock.
Yeah, well, they beat on the rock. That's how you get the rocks out of the rock, is you beat on it or boil.
First of all, I thought we boiled it. Second of all, okay. So he goes out and he's gonna work this entire and you know, when I say granite ledge, it's like a. It's a small mountain jutting out of the ground. It's not, you know.
Made of delicious quartz, right?
Yes, made of, very delicious edible, I guess, quartz, if you boil it long enough. Not so long that it's just gold, but, you know, till it's al dente.
Right, yeah. He's not British, right?
No, Prussian. We've been over this.
Okay. Right. He probably didn't boil it to eat it, I would imagine.
It's a tough hit on, like, literally at this point. Two-thirds of our listeners.
Yeah, the ones that are asleep right now. Yes, I'm aware.
Oh, I get it. Very savvy.
You should show up to the live show next time, y'all. Make fun of.
Better wake up at 2:30 a.m. next time, folks, or else we will be merciless about your boiled food.
Better kick the chicken boiler on earlier next time, guys.
It's not going to stop now. So, Henry goes by himself. He's working this ledge. All alone, what he finds out there would eventually become the most productive gold mine in Arizona history. He finds so much gold. And so he stakes a claim, which, again, I will never wrap my head around this completely, but he just said, this is mine now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, somehow.
Right.
So he does that, and he sets up Wickenburg Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
So now he legally owns this property just by saying, I have made this mine by force of my own white will.
I've never understood, like, in these lawless days, I've seen a lot of, you know, Kevin Costner films, obviously. Like, why wouldn't the first guy off his horse just pop him in the head and be like, and now it's my quartz,
you that know, mountain is or whatever. A great question that we'll have to ask Kevin Costner about. Possibly Clint Eastwood might know. One or the other. Hey, if anyone in the chat knows how to get in touch with Kevin Costner or Clint Eastwood, if you could drop that in there, that would be pretty helpful. Anyway, so he owns the property now. He gets the mine really going, and he has this gold mine now, and he gives it a name. The name of the mine that he gives this mine is Vulture Mine.
Oh, okay.
Pretty cool. It's a pretty cool name, actually.
It is pretty cool. Although it does kind of scream, what should I name this? Let me look around. What is the only thing I see? Hundreds and hundreds of vultures waiting for me to accidentally hit myself in the foot with this pick.
Basically. I hate to say this, but that is actually literally how I got the name. That's my next note.
That's fair.
For some reason, this was a place where a lot of desert animals went to die, and there were just vultures everywhere. And so, therefore, he looked up in the sky and said, "Vulture mine." And I think this is one of the things I love most about Arizona is that if you've been there several times, and if you go to Arizona, you will notice if you pay attention to like the roads and the areas, they do just name things as they are out there. Like Rattlesnake Gulch is a thing, and it's like, yeah, that makes sense. This is a gulch, and there's lots of rattlesnakes here. Cactus Mountain. Okay. Yep. That's yep. Yeah. Not taking many liberties there. That's good.
Yeah. And that was Cactus Mountain 7, and that's Cactus Mountain 12, if you look real close over there.
It's smaller Cactus Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Right in between them, that is Scottsdale. So,
named after, of course, Scott Dale.
Look, there he is.
So Vulture Mine, he names this. And anyway, like I said, there's a ton of gold. There's also silver there. So Henry is living his best life. He's really done something here. And he is the sole owner of this mine because no one else wanted to go. Which I will point out now, this is a mistake producer Ryan has not made. He's actually done the smart thing here. He has said, I think Is This a Ghost could be popular. I want to be an owner of it, but I will do almost no work to be involved with it. So if it becomes actually as popular as I think it might, I will lay claim to it without doing any work.
I read the email. I saw it. That's fine.
That's what investing's about. Right? This is what. I've taken all the risk here, friend. Okay.
I'm sorry. Which risks? Do you want to list a few? Or
that's the financial ones, I'm sure.
Which one?
I haven't run the numbers.
Facebook ads are coming out of my personal bank account. Hey, is Aaron here? Don't let her know. If Aaron's here, that's not. That was a joke. Ryan, anything else?
Nope. That's it. Gotta go.
Great. Okay, so it's gold or silver. He's doing a great job. He sets up a company, and he hires a ton of miners. I mean, just a very...
Is that legal back then, or...?
Okay. You know what? I'm going to allow it. Thanks. Do you think there's a collective noun for miners? What would you give the collective noun for miners?
The people
like a flock of geese, a murder of crows. Yeah.
Crew. I'm going to say crew.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't think I had to be specific, but people who mine, not people who are under the age of 18 or 17.
Those are called children. Cool, the other ones are called a crew. I think a crew of miners. That's how you differentiate.
You have a cool, like a pick of miners.
Yeah. Like a murder of miners.
That's taken. It's taken, but I do like it. Okay. I'll go again. A darkness of miners.
A hole of miners.
A hole of miners is very good. Very good.
The transcript is getting flagged by ChatGPT right now.
I don't think this is going to work out great.
Yeah, you guys are getting demonetized.
This is our last YouTube episode, everybody, because Google has
been great.
Officially kicked us off. Jen, your life got a whole lot less hectic. Anyway, so all these miners descend on Wickenburg Ranch, and suddenly there are so many people that the ranch becomes an actual town called Wickenburg, which it is still called today, in fact.
Wow.
Now, the town of Wickenburg is really kind of booming. There are just, there's a fuck ton of people working this mine, and so they have to feed and house all these workers, and this is a bit of a problem because it is the Arizona desert.
It's still the desert here, yeah.
There are almost no natural resources outside of gold.
We could not eat the sand. We have been boiling the quartz for weeks now and nothing.
Still not al dente. Yeah. So it's not going great, but a man named Jack Swilling comes into town and he says, I know what to do. This is a man whose history actually sounds pretty interesting, but I did not have time to research it. But I know he shows up and he goes into the nearby valley and he Okay, there's a lot to unpack here, but he reopens the irrigation canals left by the native people.
Okay.
What I would point out here is that there are a couple things to flag. Mm-hmm. One, the native people had irrigation canals in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Sounds hard to do. It sounds very...
So that's very good. Yeah. They seem like they're pretty good at land and life and survival on their own without any help from, from Prussians. Two, this guy reopens the canals, which means at some point they had blocked the canals, which, the mind reels, about why. I assume maybe as a defense tactic or a scorched earth sort of thing, potentially.
I think we've all seen Frozen 2. I think we know where this is going.
In fact, Patrick, I'm so glad you brought that up. We watched Frozen 2 just this morning.
Our new sponsor.
Our new sponsor, Elsa.
Elsa. And not the good Elsa.
Specifically. No. The haunted trash Elsa that there was a ghosty that is we've still not really released to the public.
Maybe it's for the best.
Well, people really want the Elsa episode, which I think is primarily why I don't release it. Now it's a spite thing. But he goes down, he reopens those canals. And it's amazing that he's the first person to think like, well, there are these irrigation canals. Yep. What if we knock away these blocks and just... And the people, of course, are like, no, you'll destroy Arendelle. But then it's like, no, I think our magical fifth element queen will save us.
Yeah. I'm sure the people at the ranch are like, no, that's a historic site. Don't modify it. And
yeah, I think miners are pretty concerned about that in the 1800s. For sure. So anyway, so he opens those canals and suddenly there's water in the valley and now they can grow crops. So they're growing food. They build some houses out of bleach wood and stones, which, you know, you do what you have to do in the desert. I have a picture. I don't have a picture of like one of those houses in its heyday.
Mm-hmm.
I do have this.
Oh, it's lovely.
It was different before. Yeah.
It looks like the Little House in the Prairie episode of the tornadoes. What it looks like to me.
This is, yeah,
you see Paul's hat on there, and yeah, it's lovely. It's
closing the tree. You can't see them. They're off frame here, but but you can see like a lot of stone walls and and driftwood looking boards here. So this probably was a place to live that was okay.
Yeah,
yeah, or mansion. So they figure out how to live there. So just like that, now the town is booming and they established a grain route so they could get grain to the mine. So they have a grain route from the breadbasket of America. And suddenly like they really have a whole thing going on here. Now these agricultural wonders are flowing into the place, and that is actually what leads to the establishment of Phoenix, Arizona.
No way.
Yes, indeed. This mine led to the founding of Phoenix. So Wickenburg is booming. The problem is it's also completely lawless. One source describes it as, quote, a vigilante town. So almost everyone there, of course, is a miner. That's a pretty rough and tumble industry. Famously, I think 19th century gold mining is not—it's not very safe, or you know.
Yeah, I mean, no risk, no reward.
Yes, I mean
you could go push papers, you know, back east, or you could go dig straight down in the desert until you.
I like that you said straight down because my next photo here is a photo of. A mine shaft because it's dark, it's dusty, and this is indeed an image of one of the shafts of Vulture Mine.
That's just straight the fuck down right there.
It is straight the fuck down. It is maybe 3 feet in diameter. That's generous.
Mm-hmm. And the straightest the fuckest down I've ever seen a mine now, shaft.
What I like is they have built out these walls, obviously, for safety and protection, which is good. And then they're like, we'll go no further this way. Now it's down.
Right.
And here's a rope that, you know,
Not sure what that's for. That's maybe to...
That may be a more recent addition. It also may be how they just sent people down there.
Just a bucket full of pee on the end of that rope is what I'm seeing. That's all it is. Pull it up. Careful this time, though.
Is there pee in here or is there gold?
Yeah.
If there's gold, we like it. If there's pee, you got to tell us.
Am I pulling up ones or twos? You have to tell me. You have to tell me. You didn't tell me last time.
And you saw that happen. I got scared. I dropped it. You know what happened.
It's everyone's benefit if you tell me if it's ones or twos coming up.
So OSHA is not signing off on this at all.
They've been throwing OSHA in the hole for years.
So Wickenburg, you know, it's successful, but it's also a bit of a powder keg. When the mines closed for the night, most of the miners would head into town, and they would hit the saloons and the brothels, because those, of course, popped up.
Mm-hmm.
There were fights, there are shootouts, there are rapes and murders. It's a bad scene, and there's no law, so it just is allowed to happen.
Hmm. Interesting. It's like a social experiment.
Yeah.
For some people. Other people, maybe not as much of a social experiment.
It's early murder, and that's fine. So, so it may not surprise you to learn that gold theft was also a serious problem in this town.
What makes that gold yours and this gold mine? We both pulled it out of the hole.
And there's no sheriff here to say otherwise, so I guess it's mine. Now, justice for stealing gold was handed out vigilante style.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of my favorite stories from this whole research was that one night, three men shot their way into the assay building. And the assay building is where they store and like weigh and do the paperwork for the gold. So it's where they keep it. So three men shoot their way into the assay building. They kill the guard.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And they start stuffing. They go around. They're just like throwing things into their bags. It's dark. They don't have flashlights. Obviously, those haven't been around.
Right. They're all carrying like little candles on
they've got their sleeping caps on. They've got their robes. The wee willy winkying is what they call that. And they go through and they're grabbing all this stuff and they're stuffing it into bags. They steal whatever they can, but they're panicked. They got to go. They take off in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take long until guards are like, "We've been robbed." The guards, the guards ride out into the desert after them. They catch up to them eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And when they catch them, they find, much to the surprise of the guards and to the surprise of the thieves themselves, they had actually managed to steal no gold. And I imagine the guards had a good laugh about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they shot the thieves dead anyway.
They executed all them one by one.
That's correct. Shot them all dead and carried them back into town. Once I got to town, the people there were like, "We don't want them here. They tried to steal from us." And so then the guards hauled them back out and just dropped them into the desert and walked away.
Well.
Yeah. According to Gloria Henkel, who is something of a Wickenburg ghost expert, and before you ask me what a ghost expert, what qualifies as a ghost expert, I will tell you she owns Wickenburg Legends and Ghost Tours.
Okay.
So she knows that of which she speaks.
Sure. She filed the LLC, so she's legit. Yeah.
Hey, that's what we did for this podcast, and we talk about, like, we know what we think, what we know about stuff.
You see how many losses she writes off in her taxes.
Gloria said, quote, "We didn't have a lawman for years and years. We actually had two hanging trees, one in town and another out by the mine."
For when the one in town was busy, or...
I think not impossible.
It's for when there was just no time. It's like when they build two targets in town, you know, then one gets busy.
Yeah. It's embarrassing if you're trying to hang someone. It's like, this one's kind of booked for an 11:30. And so you want to have a backup option. So there's two hanging trees in town. And obviously these trees are just trees, but there's no trap door. It's not like a gallows. There's no trap door.
Okay.
Which is like, that's key to the, you know, humane feels like a,
the professionality, I would say.
Not a great word for it, but you know, the idea being when you, there's a trap door, you fall through and you break your neck and that's a quick way to go.
Yep.
Doesn't always work, obviously, but, in this scenario, there was no trap door. You would stand on a rock or a mule.
Mm-hmm.
With the rope around your neck, they would kick it away and the person would then just strangle to death. Hmm. Quote, "It could take 2 minutes or 2 hours."
Hmm.
So, that's Not ideal.
Sounds bad.
And this is one of the hanging trees.
Well, it's spelled correctly. Well,
I think it's actually spelled incorrectly. I think that you, if you are a hanging tree in a mining town in the 19th century, you got to be hanging tree.
What I also like is since the T in tree is kind of half picked off, it's unclear hanging whether free. Originally said hanging tree or hanging free.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would want to get hanged at the lighthearted hanging tree or at the serious hanging tree. This one's.
I think
clearly...
I would go for the silly tree.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, yeah. You could have fun with that one. Ryan, what kind of tree would you like to be hanged on?
Sorry, what? I wasn't listening. What happened? Something about is a ghost?
Yeah, it's a ghost.
Oh, and it is a ghost. Yeah, it was. I thought so. Yeah.
Would you like to be? If you were to be hanged, would it be on a serious tree or on a silly tree?
Oh, I'd be a silly tree hanging free.
Oh, he was the devil. I was listening.
I'm sorry. I was paying attention to the chat as well. There's lots of good things happening in the chat, so I don't.
I know. I keep being distracted by them, and I have done a heroic job, I must say, of not losing my train of thought. So
proud of you.
Thank you. Award-winning, not distracted, Clayton Smith.
And honestly, just the fact that all three of us have already chosen silly tree lets me know why they had to have two trees. You know, I mean,
it's a very busy tree. Look, we'll get you on silly tree if we can, but I cannot promise anything. No, so anyone caught stealing gold from the mine was hung on the mining tree. Anyone doing bad stuff in town was hung on the town tree.
Okay, so there is some... Okay, so you said lawless. I'm hearing law.
Fucking squares.
Yeah. you can just imagine there's some like elders in town like, with the fucking mining tree and the town tree. In my day,
we had one tree.
And we had to walk uphill to get to it. Through the snow.
So records suggest there was a total of 18 men hung from the mine hanging tree, which I think is not as many as I would have expected.
Not as busy as I would have figured. Yeah.
Now, and again, it's lawless. So it's not like people like chasing down folks who steal things. These are the people who are easily caught.
Yeah.
So
again, it's very difficult to steal large sums of gold in the desert. I'm not entirely sure what your plan is at that point.
Yeah, it's going to take you a while to get it anywhere, and you're going to be moving way slower than anyone else chasing you.
I'm going to steal 200 pounds of very dense stones and hop on a mule and ride for 17 days in that direction. Hope nobody finds me.
So today it's possible to see the ghosts of some of those 18 men swinging from that tree. If you go, and there are tours you can do. It's a privately owned mine now, but you can go and pay for a tour. And if you do, some folks have seen people hanging, literally hanging from a tree, which I imagine is actually incredibly upsetting. But, of course, there was lots of death in the mine as well, which brings us to the story of a man named Jimmy Davis. Jimmy was, by all accounts, a very good worker. He's the kind of person who does all the stuff you don't want to do. So like he's the me to the Ryan, actually. I've mentioned on here before. Ryan and I work together. I'm Jimmy, and Ryan is everyone else who sucks. And don't unmute. No, I saw you unmute. Don't unmute, Ryan. We have to keep going. We don't have time. One day, the police system malfunctions, and Jimmy's gonna fix it. Because he's the Clayton of the mine, and he's going to take responsibility for
Ryan's
fuck-up.
There's so much twos and ones down in the mine. We got to get rid of this stuff, guys. We can't.
So he gets up on the ladder to fix the belt. Now, unfortunately, his arm gets stuck in the pulley. Ooh. And when he tries to pull it out, the belt tightens and releases. Oh. And Jimmy is launched several feet into the air with his arm still stuck. So that... Those things go separate from each other.
It's like the last thing you want to happen to your arm.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's right.
And sometimes it is the last thing that happens to your arm.
So. Who's the idiot now? Hey, who's the idiot now?
Well, that's a fair... God, I hate it, but that's a fair point. You know what? This is the first day of the rest of my life, because tomorrow going into work, I'm Ryan. and Ryan is Clayton. I'm the one who does nothing. It's not over yet for poor Jimmy, though. So he loses that arm, but mm-hmm. then the rest of his body mm-hmm. that he still has, it smashes into some pretty heavy machinery. Mm-hmm. it breaks base. Lots of his bones break. Mm-hmm. And then he falls several hundred feet down to down through the mine shaft in the central mine shaft.
Goodness.
And he hits the ground.
Mm-hmm. Is he okay?
Actually, this is the worst part. I don't know if okay is the right word. But he is indeed still alive when he hits the bottom. Mm-hmm. So Jimmy is, as you can probably imagine, he's screaming a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. Probably most of what he's saying right now is screams. Yeah.
It's in high volumes, yes. Mm-hmm. He is screaming, and he's begging for someone to come down and help him.
Right.
But
ironically.
Well, it's just that the mechanism is...
Yeah, the mechanism kind of has something stuck in it now. I'm not saying it's an arm, but it looks a lot like an arm. And Jimmy, again, I don't want to get too picky here, but you appear to be missing an arm.
It's not a blame game.
Yeah, exactly.
Not blaming at all.
Exactly. We're trying to find a solution here. I'm trying to find a solution. But
there is an arm in blocking it.
Yeah. So if you could just...
You just like,
back up there, you know,
just
take care of it.
Because one hour time,
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still your shift.
Also, you're not going to send people down there because, I mean, this man is not going to survive this.
Right.
Incident.
Yeah. I mean, you want to give it like a good 10 minutes after the screaming's over.
This is a Monty Python sketch of a death is what, I mean, really, like, I feel very bad for this guy, but this is not, there's no going back from this. And so no one will go down there. But the upshot is they just leave him down there while he screams until he dies.
Right.
And it takes several hours.
Oh my goodness. Really?
He's got some stick-to-itiveness.
I guess. Yeah.
This is why he was the reliable guy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he was that through excruciating death.
Old Jimmy Tons of Blood. Unfortunately.
He's the polar opposite of George Washington.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is what he is. So he dies down there and his ghost is still down there. And in the main mine shaft. Mm-hmm. And if you go visit, you'll hear him screaming for help.
Okay.
Which I feel is incredibly unsettling. Hmm. Now,
I'll be honest, though, you look down in that hole, screaming's probably like the third scariest thing.
What do you think is happening down there? Like, Cthulhu lives in this hole, so screaming, fine. Tentacles coming out, less fine. So Henry Wickenburg himself, he ends up selling most of his stake in 1890. He had some debt issues. Mm. So he's out, but the mine keeps paying out for a long time because, again, it is just a massive reserve of gold. In 1942, which is so much longer, the U.S. government steps in, and they actually shut the mine down because whoever owned the mine now had ignored the government pleas to turn its operation toward the war effort.
World War II. The Wickenburgs, they are once again bitten.
Yep, by
big government. That's what I'm hearing right here.
Exactly right. So the government comes in and they shut the mine down. Mm-hmm. They say you've not contributed to the war effort. Mm-hmm. It's the law now.
We asked you to make golden airplanes. You ignored all of our notes. Then we said, what about silver airplanes? You ignored that one as well.
Now, you did make some footnotes here about how those would not, quote, get up into the air. Mm-hmm. However, we asked for them, and we don't like that you said no. Today, you can tour the Vulture Mine, as I said. If you do, you're likely to hear footsteps and the whispers of disembodied voices from many people who have died in the mines. You also may see some fully formed ghosts wandering around in the dark looking for gold still. People have reported shadows on the walls of the cave when nobody is there. When they shine their light around, they're looking around, and suddenly there is a person shadow thrown by their flashlight. Whew. And they also hear the sounds of pickaxes striking the walls. I mentioned the hanging tree already and the ghost there and Jimmy Davis and his ghost screams. Oh, and this this is my second favorite story from the Vulture Mine. A lot of the ghosts that you might find there are from one mining shaft that was particularly prosperous. Mm-hmm. Lots of gold, lots of joy coming from that because it was so much gold. And sure. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering where the segue is going. It's
a normal way to set up a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Who doesn't describe mines as joyful?
Joyful. Anyway. I think joyful is the right word because it was so bountiful. They called this the glory hole.
Was it, can I just ask a quick question?
Sure, please.
Was it the same size as the hole we saw?
I'm going to say, to make you feel better, much smaller.
All right. I just want to make sure. I mean, you know, you never really know.
Oh, boy. Now, because there was so much gold in the glory hole, miners would...
I'll take
Hey, Ryan, you watch a lot of glory hole videos. Do you have anything to
throw in? No. I didn't. That's not where I expected this to be going, but I'm happy. I'm just happy to be here. God. And I wouldn't say a lot. Don't say a lot.
No. So. A normal amount of glory hole videos, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not like all my algorithm suggests now. It's just like some of what's in the algorithm now.
When I am doing the work that Ryan won't do, it's because he's addicted to these glory hole videos. Mm-hmm. And someone has to say something. Someone has to be, Ryan, this whole live show with all these people here, we're all here. This is the intervention.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to do it this way.
But everyone, please unmute.
Gotta stop. Yep. Everyone, please come in, everyone. Please come in. Ryan, you gotta stop looking at the glory hole videos.
It doesn't feel real.
So there's so much gold in the glory hole. Which is so hard to say every time. There's so much there that miners would come back after closing time. They'd go back to the glory hole after it was closed, and they would sneak in, mm-hmm. and they would dig out more ore, mm-hmm. more golden ore that was near the support structures, the support beams.
Oh,
so this is the thing about the glory hole. So the easiest part of the to get to is the support beams, support structure.
Right.
So that's where they start really digging down, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. taking out some. You okay, Pat?
I'm just getting very nervous because I know the next words out of your mouth are going to be when the glory hole collapses, and it's just going to make me so uncomfortable.
So I've never seen you twirl a pencil before, so you must be very anxious.
I don't know how long until you're going to say it.
After a while, there wasn't enough rock to support this glory hole. And, quote, from me, the glory hole collapses.
You never want to be the last guy.
You nailed it.
That's
so to speak. So the glory hole collapses. Quote, mm-hmm. and this is a quote from a source that's not me, trapping and killing 7 men and 12 donkeys.
Oh.
Oh. Does anyone have any questions?
Can I just review the ratio again? That's all I want
to
know.
Sure, I'll allow it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 7 men.
Right. Okay.
12 donkeys.
That doesn't even make sense. Way too many donkeys.
Ryan, you have any anything you want to share? You're the expert.
It adds up. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. In my experience, I think this is what you want. So. Sure. May they rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Oh.
So of Donkeys on Glory Hole, which actually, Pat, sounds a lot like our trip to Tijuana.
Which, certain legs of it.
One of my favorite things about my history is that at your wedding, when I was best man, mm-hmm. I gave a speech where I teased the Tijuana story, but didn't share it.
Appreciate
it. But the look on your face
yeah.
when I acted mm-hmm. as if I might tell our Tijuana story, mm-hmm. boy, I've been running on those fumes for decades and will continue to until the end of time. Mm. Anyway, so the glory hole collapses with all those donkeys. And the bodies, of course, are left down there in the bottom of the glory hole. And those ghosts also still haunt the space today.
Mm-hmm. Not as much screaming, though, from what I understand. More of a different sounds, let's just say.
Say satisfied moan?
A lot of sighing, I would say. A lot of muffled sighing. Okay. Anyway.
And I regret to inform you all that, that is the story of the Vulture Mind Ghosts. Patrick, any final thoughts?
None. Absolutely none. I've left everything out there.
Yeah, we all have. Ryan, you want to weigh in with anything? You want to any closing?
Anything? No.
This is what the show is like, by the way. Thank you for joining us. This is
This is the just to be. This was the ghost show, right? This is the one on.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. There were some ghosts. I don't know if you caught the ghosts. Yeah. There were some.
Yeah, no, I just. Yeah, no, I heard it. Yeah, I heard. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure. I was. There was a lot. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. Yeah.
Oh, good. It is a ghost. Yeah.
It is. Thank you. I agree.
This week.
So that's, boy, that is our story. And Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. Ryan Smith, producer and co-owner. Hey, bud. Thank you for joining us. As always, our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our social media manager is Kai Valonis. And gosh, Kai, you're here. So I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I've said it now, I think, 3 or 4 times in a show. Hey, Kai, if you're there, if you could just like drop in the chat real quick if that's the way that it's pronounced, that would be super helpful.
One of
these,
maybe one of those.
Yeah. Thumbs up, thumbs down, you know, whatever. Or meh, mid.
Yeah, like a middle. Vowel sounds were correct. Some vowel sounds weren't.
Hey folks, listen, if you liked this show, if you like how this went, sometimes it goes like this, and you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you listen. That would be really helpful. And check out the iTag store, the Is This a Ghost store. By the time you listen to this, we may have new merch. We may.
Hopefully not about this episode though.
We are going to have really solid mining hole, glory hole merch. We're going to do it. It's going to be real tasteful. And Steven Luna will do a nice job with it, I think. he's the one to handle it with gentle velvet gloves. You can check it out. It is itsghost.com. Gosh, we should probably end this, right? Anything else, Patrick? No, he's shaking his head. No. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. This is This Ghost, and gosh, take care, everyone, because otherwise you may end up as the next topic of Is This a Ghost?